This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Up. It's only Tuesday, and we have got already a lot of shows in the books that have been busy, and a lot to come yet this week. North Dakota Family Alliance will be here. Tom Fryer will tell us a little bit about his efforts to talk with the candidates for governor about their positions on the issues important to members of the North Dakota Family Alliance. Look forward to that conversation coming up. That will include, by the way, this discussion of these insane bathroom debates that are happening as a result of what's going on down in North Carolina, and also the pro-life and marriage issues. So looking forward to that. Where's my list here? Okay, here, Kalo, Catherine Lopez will be here to tell you about ISIS and what they're doing to Christians. It's really not being reported. I don't know why. And thankfully, Catherine Lopez of National Review will be here to tell us a little bit about that. Congressman Kevin Cramer's talk radio town hall. I'm in Carrington on Thursday and Watford City on Friday with lots of fun. So we have a busy week for you on what's on your mind. This hour, it's another of our talk radio town halls as we inform your vote. That's what we're doing here. June 14th, a primary vote for, of course, a lot of folks watching this governor's race. The Republican primary vote will be June 14th. You have Wayne Sedgham, the attorney general, who will join us for the entire hour and take your questions or comments. Doug Burgum and Paul Storm as well. They debated over the weekend in Crosby, North Dakota. That's pretty darn cool. Probably the first time you had something like that happen there in Crosby, with three candidates descending there and the North Dakota Newspapers Association gathering up there this weekend in Crosby in the hockey arena. I love that. Pretty good. Wayne Stengel, the attorney general candidate for governor of the Republican Party, nominated candidate for governor, joins us now on What's on Your Mind. Hello, Wayne. How are you?
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Wonderful. We posted the photos, we always do, and asked for questions on our Facebook page, too. There's another place you can put them. And I see the photo has you and your running mate in the University of North Dakota, regalia. So
we were up in Grand Forks, and it was great to be up there. And whenever we go, we like to stop by the Ralph and the UND bookstore. And we had a great time when we were there.
Exactly right. So our apologies to Bison fans today, who are probably a little little hurt over the whole deal. But
well, that's and my wife was too, but she got over it.
Exactly right. Well, let's talk about the debate over the weekend. Amy Dalrymple wrote a nice story about it. We talked a little bit about it yesterday on a couple of the issues that came up. But that's the first of now a several debates that are on the schedule, including ours here on What's on Your Mind. We're looking forward to that. Your impressions? How was the debate?
Well, it was great, and it was good to be back in Divide County. I'm up there a lot, of course, because that's where Beth is from, and so I thought I had the hometown advantage because we've seen some amazing things going on up in Divide County. And I remember not that long ago we would go up there, and anyone that you would talk to would say, our population is leaving, we can't get young people to come here, our businesses are suffering or closing, and what do we do? And I even quoted my friend John Andrist, who is in the North Dakota Senate, a good friend and colleague. And I remember once he got up on the floor of the Senate. He said, you know, in Divide County and particularly in Crosby, we have done everything that we could think of. And Crosby was one of those communities that was really striving and struggling and trying to do their best to get people to move there. And he talked about all the efforts they'd gone through. And then before he sat down, he said, but now I just feel like a failure. And what I said to the crowd was, I think John didn't wait quite long enough, because now we're seeing they've got new hotels up there, houses, apartments that are being built and that were never there before. And then that community center and hockey rink, which is where we held the debate. So things are moving, and that's a sign of real optimism, because we've got people moving into a place that year after year after year was just emptying out, and now we see the opposite happening. And so that's why it's great to be back in Divide County. And it was real unusual, of course, to have a newspaper association meeting in a small town like Crosby that was, you know, a long ways for people from other parts of the state to get to, but it was well attended and we had a wonderful time.
By the way, the telephone number to call with your questions on our Cloverdale Big Flavor Hotline is 800-228-0550. You can also text Todd, 701-226-8503. You can email us, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com, with your questions or comments. First call for Wayne Stengem. You're up on What's on Your Mind on the Talk Radio Town Hall. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Stengem, I'm a big supporter. I think you've done an outstanding job as an attorney general. But I do have one little concern here. As far as accessibility to your office, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you personally on a particular issue, and I know that some government agencies vet their phone calls or have somebody else, will take the call, and the head person is not accessible to the citizen who might have a concern. What is your procedure there in your office?
Yeah, that's a great question because it's always hard. And I just one of the difficult things, there's so many people that want to come in and people that stop in. I just had a guy from Bowman, in fact, who popped in, and I had a couple of minutes to visit with him. And I know how much it means to people that we can be accessible. But a lot of people contact me on Facebook, if you could imagine. I get instant messages from folks that want to discuss the concerns that they might have. I have a campaign website if it's a campaign-related issue, stengemforgovernor.com, and so you can contact us that way. There's always the mail if you have something that you want to relay in writing. It might be a little bit longer. And believe me, I know one of the really enjoyable things that I do get to do when I have time is to chat with people who just pop in, and you'd be surprised how often people are on vacation or met them one time or another. They do want to stop in, and unfortunately, there's just not always enough time with all of the things that are going on to see everybody who would like an opportunity to do that. And I'm out and around town all the time. I go out to eat and go shopping and all of those kinds of things. And I run into people on the street regularly and have a chance to chat with them. Now, of course, I'm out and around the state all the time. And, of course, here we are now on talk radio. So I hope, sir, that we have a chance to meet. And I appreciate your indicating that you're a supporter. And I'll do my best to try to be accessible as long as everyone understands that there are really are only so many hours in a day.
All right.
Please.
That work for you, sir? Appreciate it. He's gone. Henry in Fargo, you're next on the Talk Radio Town Hall at 800-228-0550 for Wayne Stengem. Go ahead, Henry.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Hello, guys.
Hello, Henry.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you personally that I got to listen to the interview that I thought Scott did a great job on. I think it was last week forward. He played clips from the congressman and the past governor, and you answered the questions, and I didn't really know much about you, and I don't know much about Doug Burgum, but your answers to the questions told me you're not a conservative, that you were supporting the 15,000 people that signed up, and people hate Obamacare, and they were hoping that'd get struck down, and then your comment was, tax breaks aren't only for the rich, and it just surprised me, and I think with the Trump movement right now, and I'm not a Trumpster, but you keep boasting that you've been the most elected attorney general. People want to change. People want conservatism. So that's kind of explaining what I saw and why I think I'm going to vote for Doug.
Okay, well, thank you. I certainly am a conservative, and that is really pretty well known. And certainly with respect to Obamacare, the day that President Obama signed that law into effect, along with a number of couple dozen of my Republican attorney general counterparts, immediately filed a lawsuit against the law, claiming it was unconstitutional. We almost won. I sat in the United States Supreme Court for 3 days with those 9 justices quizzing our lawyers about the issue, and we thought we might win. And actually, on some of the claims that we had, we did. The Commerce Clause, for example, which for the first time required citizens to purchase an item in commerce that they didn't want, we won on that. Unfortunately, Justice Roberts let us down when he said that all may well be, but the fact is that this is a tax. Congress has more authority under the taxing clause of the Constitution, so unfortunately upheld it. But I was in on the ground floor of that from the very beginning, and I think that any claim to the contrary is just preposterous.
Henry, anything else?
No. I really appreciate you taking the call. It was fun to hear you guys have an interview. It's great. It's just when you're one of those guys and you don't know the candidates, you know, you're trying to listen to what they say to pick somebody. And I just wanted to call in and say that, you know, that was the interview that kind of tipped me, is all. That's all.
Okay. Well, thank you, Henry. I appreciate your calling in. And I want to assure you, first of all, that when it comes to Obamacare, nobody has fought harder against that than I have. Same thing with respect to all of the federal overreach. I should mention that of all of the attorney generals in the United States, I am the leader in lawsuits against the EPA, the Bureau of Land Management, the Army Corps of Engineers, you name it. I have filed or participated in 60 different lawsuits. And so there's nobody who leads the nation. No other attorney general, Republican, or Democrat can claim
that. Sadly, you've had a lot to fight, haven't you?
Well, I have.
Hang on, Wayne. We'll talk more after the break on the Talk Radio Town Hall. Don't go away.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm board member Troy Oldblum of Northwood. With planting season upon us, the North Dakota Soybean Council reminds farmers to exercise good farm safety practices, conduct routine maintenance and repairs on equipment before heading to the field. Make sure lights and turn signals work properly and slow-moving vehicle emblems are visible. Turn off machinery before exiting or attempting to work on or around equipment. Avoid baggy clothes that can become entangled in machinery. Use caution around flowing grain. Adults can become entrapped in seconds. Get adequate sleep. Don't take shortcuts when working around grain and machinery. Keep rollover protection structures in place. If you have a tractor without one, get it installed today. And while you're at it, buckle your seatbelt. Discuss safety concerns with your children as you explain safe handling and operating procedures. Practice what you preach, and they will practice it too. Always remember to just stop and think. The North Dakota Soybean Council wishes everyone a safe and profitable planting season.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
There's an epidemic in North Dakota that killed 1,000 people last year. People we knew and loved. It cost North Dakota over $326 million for health care. It affects the young, the old, everyone. It's smoking-related disease, and it's a big problem. It's costing us all more every year. To find out more, visit BreatheND.com. Tobacco is still a problem. Brought to you by the North Dakota Center for Tobacco Prevention and Control Policy and your local public health unit.
PetroServe USA, when you want to gas up, grab a snack, get on your way.
Come on into a nearby PetroServe USA location and pick four for just four. That's right, get a single-topping personal pan hot stuff pizza, a 20-ounce fountain pop, and any two cookies all day, every day. Four items, just $4 at PetroServe USA.
Helping America feel better, PetroServe USA.
Lead non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
How's $32 an hour sound? Not a bad gig, huh? Well, I'll tell you what, my friends at Polar Service Center have $32 an hour jobs waiting for you. If you're a tank trailer mechanic or a service technician, they've expanded. That's right, they're expanding right now. In Killdeer, have been for a number of years, expanded in the last year into Williston, and they are doing bumper-to-bumper mechanical work now on fleets, all kinds of trucks. They're a tank trailer manufacturer, biggest in North America, actually. buildings in Minnesota, but they have service centers all throughout North America to service their tank trailers. And what they've done at Williston and Killdeer is actually meet a need for more mechanical work. So they're doing it for you. And if you want to go to work for this good company, you have great benefits, great wages, even a housing allowance in Killdeer, call Terry right now. He's the HR man. 507-696-1164. 507-696-1164 on what's in your mind. Back with Wayne Stengem, the Attorney General. Want to talk some budget issues, get an update on the state of this race. Also, obviously, a forum last week that has many people buzzing and news of, fentanyl being found in a school in North Dakota. So we have a lot of ground to cover with Wayne Stengem, the Attorney General, today on the Talk Radio Town Hall. We also welcome your calls, questions, comments. Text 800-228-0550 on the Cloverdale Big Flavor Hotline and text Todd at 701-226-8503. Do you feel like the Obamacare debate between you and Doug Burgum has been fully litigated? Is there anything else you need to say or he needs to say? I'm still getting flyers on it. I brought one with me to work today with, facts we've covered. There's a whole website set up about this thing. But, do you feel like you've addressed everything that needs to be addressed on it, Wayne?
Well, I think I have, but to the extent that anyone might not understand that any claim that I am a supporter of Obamacare is, as I said, preposterous, because I was in on the ground floor of the litigation, participated regularly and vigorously in our litigation, and even traveled to Washington and to the U.S. Supreme Court to oppose Obamacare. And so I think it's about as well known as can possibly be, and I hope that the point has been made. And that's why I also wanted to emphasize all of the other litigation that we have participated in or initiated against a federal overreach. And I will continue to do that as long as I'm here. And certainly if I'm in the governor's office, we'll do the same.
Again, this is where people get confused. They say, okay, I hear Wayne. That makes sense. He fought the federal government on all these things, and he fought on Obamacare. So why is the Burgum campaign able to say that he was, joining 21 Democrat attorneys general on a brief that was ultimately trying to save Obamacare at the Supreme Court? And just
of course, it was a poor legal claim that got nowhere. And what the issue was is that once the U.S. Supreme Court upheld Obamacare, the law of the land is that everybody had to buy insurance under penalty of law. And they were promised that if they did, that in exchange for the premiums that they paid, and these are mostly low and lower moderate income people, in exchange for the premium that they paid to buy the insurance, they would get a tax credit for doing so. That's the only way they could afford the premiums that they were paying. And so this litigation was designed to say, well, wait a minute, not so fast. Let's take away those tax credits that that those people were promised that they would get, and hope that that will lead to the collapse of Obamacare. It was a claim that got nowhere in the U.S. Supreme Court. It only got 3 votes, but it was also, I think, a breach of trust to the good citizens of North Dakota. There were almost 16,000 of them who bought that insurance and were promised that they would get the tax credit to help pay the premiums. And I just felt that it was wrong to pull the rug out from under those individuals and tell them that they're going to be the pawns in what I thought was a very dangerous chess game. And I think it was the right thing to stand by our citizens. And I can't imagine the uproar that would have arisen both in our legislature, but especially in the U.S. Congress, where millions of American taxpayers who made an expenditure to buy those insurance policies didn't get the tax credit. Can you imagine what would have happened? There would have been a firestorm that would have been immeasurable.
Given the debate in this race for the governor, or for the primary on June 14th, and prior to that in the convention, would you do it again today? Is it worth all the grief you've gotten over?
Would I surrender my obligation to do the right thing by the taxpayers of North Dakota for political considerations? I don't think so. I think that the right thing to do is take the principled stand, regardless of the consequences and the political implications. But I know that if it hadn't been this issue that was made up, there'd have been something else that would have come along. So in hindsight, it probably didn't make any difference. But this was a legal claim that was made in the courts, went to the U.S. Supreme Court, didn't get anywhere, and it's probably a good thing for the U.S. Congress to avoid that firestorm, but it's also the right thing to do for the citizens who bought those premiums. What would be right about using those people as pawns when they made some very hefty expenditures to buy that health insurance because they were required by law to do so?
All right, let's go to Lance.
How can that have been the right thing?
I guess the reason I ask is that, Congressman Cramer was here saying, he was fighting on the opposite side of your position in Congress along with the Republican majority, and Republicans in the House coming to him saying, what's your attorney general doing here? Come on. So I realize, and you've explained why you did what you did, but it wasn't without controversy, not only then, but also in the race. But yeah, you've explained quite well. Look, there were some people caught in the crossfire here, and I was taking their case because they're North Dakotans.
Yes, and I really think it, and it's very unfortunate because this Obamacare was drafted, and as you know, it was done mostly in the middle of the night. It came out, and then it's left to the courts to try to interpret what in the world it was that Congress intended, because it didn't properly draft a statute that clearly covered all of these things. And the real answer to all of this is that we wind up with a Republican president and a Republican Congress. And they should be, whether we're talking about the EPA and their overreach and enacting what amounts to law, when it really is the province of the Congress to do that, it just underscores the importance that we elect a Republican president and a Republican Congress.
A texter here says, why are we still talking about Obamacare? Can both sides just move on and tell us what you'll do as governor? But that's good advice.
It does come up.
First call of the day was on this issue, so it still comes up, but I agree with that texture. Lance in Williston for Wayne Stengem. Go ahead. You're up on the Cloverdale Big Flavor Hotline. Your question?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Stengem, for making yourself accessible to the public. I appreciate that. I do have a question. It is, I think it's 4 years ago, there was a constitutional measure on the ballot to abolish property taxes. And at the time, the naysayers, as you might say, had come up with a figure that we'd have to come up with about $750,000 to replace the lost revenue that abolishing property tax would create. Now we are faced with a $1.5 billion shortfall, in my understanding, and we're being told that it's not a real big deal. We've got money. We can move the money around and everything will be paid and we'll be just fine. So I'd like somebody to explain to me why coming up with $750,000 to eliminate property tax was such a big deal, but coming up with $1.5 billion to take care of a shortfall that the government created isn't such a big deal. And I understand.
Your answer on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
So call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
Business owners, listen up. Art Rosenberg is back from Sunbelt Business Brokers of North Dakota. Art, how you doing?
Good, Scott. Thanks for having me.
I'd like to talk to Mr. and Mrs. Business Owner out there that want to know that Sunbelt is the right firm to represent their company in a sales situation. Tell us how you're different.
Sunbelt in North Dakota operates primarily in the small to middle market. Most of our sales close at $5 million or less, but we have worked on deals up to $20 million. Our average sales size runs at about $650,000.
In addition to the size and the sales price, an important factor is finding qualified buyers. How do you do that?
Sunbelt of North Dakota has worked over the years creating a buyer's network so we can match prospective buyers with the right business. We also screen those buyers to make sure that the financial capacity and their business acumen line up with the seller.
Simple as a phone call, folks. Art Rosenberg and his team at 701-347-2727 or online at nd.sunbeltnetwork.com. nd.sunbeltnetwork.com.
Bad news, Americans. You're probably stockpiling for a disaster all wrong. When the big one comes, you'll need more than that poisonous, over-salted survival food you now see everywhere. There are three vital things that your survival food is missing, and it's the first thing to disappear from grocery stores. Go to superfoodradio.com now to see my story of how I nearly died when I was forced to live on a popular survival food. That's superfoodradio.com, and I'll show you how everything you've been told about survival food is dead wrong. Go to superfoodradio.com now.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Suffering from illness or disease?
Frequently in pain?
Overstressed?
Always tired?
The solution is to oxygenate your cells because
disease cannot survive in an oxygen-rich environment.
Introducing Vital Ion, the first mineralized edible oxygen in the world. Go to toolsforfreedom.com and get the Miracle of Oxygenation DVD free with any Vital Ion purchase. Call 800-770-8802. That's 800-770-8802. Let Vital Ion edible oxygen be your daily fountain of youth.
And Williston has brought us to budget issues, which we wanted to get to anyway here, because it's a good look forward in our conversation with Wayne Stengem, the Attorney General, candidate for governor. Your questions or comments welcome at 800-228-0550, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com with your emails, or text Todd at 701-226-8503. What Lance in Williston was saying before the break is that Measure 2, which was the effort to eliminate property taxes in North Dakota, was opposed by many in government because of the high cost. We couldn't make up that amount of money. Where would we do it? He used the figure of $750 million being replaced. Now he's saying we're looking at a budget shortfall of $1.5 billion. So why is that doable when it wasn't doable to eliminate property taxes given what it would do for the economy? Your take on that, Wayne?
Well, my take is the first to mention that I really realized that the property taxes, of all the taxes that there are, probably the least popular of all of them. And that's why I think that it's important the state continue to fund education at the level that it is. And that's, of course, what's happened. I remember when I was in the legislature, we were struggling for the state to pick up and pay 35% or 40% of the cost of local education. Last session, the amount that was funded was 80%, which is something people never thought was doable. And that was in exchange for a cap on the local property tax. So where the property tax mills that were permissible for schools was about 190 mills by picking up that through the state share, we reduced the mill levy for schools to 60 mills, and there is a mechanism to go up another 10 if there's a vote of the people. But I think that's an important thing because that helps to replace the local property tax, and that is funded, of course, through a number of sources, including the funding from the Common School Trust Fund, the Foundation Aid Stabilization Fund, and general tax revenue. And I think, too, as we look forward, 5%, the 5% oil extraction tax, for example, is the fund out of which money to pay for the property tax replacement will come. That's $300 million. I think the price of continuing that property tax credit is about $250 million. So there will be funding in that savings account to continue to pay for the local property tax replacement, so that any relief that people had seen on their tax bills this year will continue. Because I think what's important to remember, we're not done pumping oil. And even though our revenues are lower than we thought, it's not that we're not bringing in any money. We're still pumping well over 1 million barrels of oil every day, and tax is being paid on that. So that fund will be replenished and funds will be available to do that. The other thing we can look at, and I think that this is something that will help on property taxes, is looking at the state picking up the cost of a state mandate, which is county social services. That's funded by local mill levies, and if the state does have, as we look at what our budget allocations are, funding to pay that, maybe not this time, but eventually, we can eliminate the mills that are permitted for funding county social services, and that will be additional property tax relief.
Lance, appreciate the call. His premise is, this can be done, right? You can do this. You can bite the bullet. We're going to prove that in this budget process, right? That you can find these dollars. Is he right to say if you can do it for a budget shortfall, you can do it for massive property tax relief?
Well, and I think that we have seen a lot of property tax relief with the foundation aid payments, the tax credit for local property taxes, and so there has been relief on the property tax front. I favor doing more, and of course that, I suppose, is what exactly would have happened if that measure had passed that would have abolished the property tax, but the citizens voted on it and decided they didn't want to do that.
One of the questions you were asked at the debate by your opponent, Doug Burgum, on Saturday was, what is it about your job you've done the last 16 years that puts you in a position to help rein in the state spending? What's your take on state spending? Have we overspent?
Well, we have, because at this point we know that we're going to have to do some serious belt tightening going forward into the next budget. I visited with the governor before he issued his budget guidelines and suggested to him that he needs to adopt a very conservative approach when it comes to what it is that every agency is going to be requesting. That's step one. Of course, we have a long way to go as we build the next budget. But that's exactly what's going to happen, because the Constitution requires that we balance the budget. We've done it for 126 years, and we certainly will do it in the next two and four and looking off into the future, because not only does the Constitution require it, but it's the right thing to do. It is what good businesses and good families do, and it's what the government needs to do, too.
Tom and Ashley for Wayne Stengem on our Talk Radio Town Hall at 800-228-0550. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to ask about Rick Becker's stance on the Second Amendment and the changes to concealed carry process. What do you think his true motive is, and what do you think the risks involved with not having to have a permit for carry? And maybe I'm wrong on exactly what he wants to do, but.
Well, I sure don't know what his motive is, but knowing him, it's an honorable, principled constitutional stand. His view seems to be that everyone has a Second Amendment right to carry a weapon, and that's certainly true in North Dakota. Everyone without a permit is entitled to carry firearms, as long as they're otherwise legally entitled to do so, as long as it's open. What this discussion is about is concealed carry, and what kind of requirements there are for licensing in order to carry a concealed weapon. Currently, under the law, you have to get a permit in order to do that, go through a test, and there's one of two different kinds of permits that you can have. And I don't have a problem with the constitutional concealed carry that is being talked about. The one risk, however, is this, and that is that we in North Dakota have the broadest reciprocity agreement of any state in the union. We've worked hard to make sure that is true, because a lot of people carry their weapons, they go to other states, they want to be able to carry concealed there. And so that's where we've worked so mightily, especially with our neighboring states, to make sure that we will recognize their concealed weapons licenses, they will recognize our concealed weapons licenses, and I don't want to lose that. And I think there's a lot of people who go traveling, they're on vacations, they go elsewhere, especially over to Minnesota, and treat that right to have that Minnesota license with reciprocity as something that's very important to them. So I want to make sure that we continue that and make sure that people can carry across as many other states as permissible.
Tom, thanks for the call. Back to the budget. We had guidelines recently from Governor Dalrymple, talked to me yesterday on the program going forward. obviously, of the next legislative session and a budget that you want to ultimately replace him in guiding. What will be your signature? What will be your touch, if you will, on the budget? How will it be different under a Governor Wayne Stengel versus a Governor Jack Dalrymple or Hoeven or Schaefer?
Well, we're certainly going to balance the budget, and that's no different than it's been under governors going back from statehood. But there are some things that I think that we can look at where we can achieve some efficiencies. And I've mentioned this before, and I think that it's very important when it comes to justice reform. We need to start rethinking the way that we're sentencing people and dealing with folks in our penitentiary. We just got done building a brand new penitentiary. It's full, and they're talking about the potential need to expand it. The local counties are building new jail facilities all the time, and they become full. And the one thing that we need to recognize is that long-term, 80% of the people that are incarcerated have an addiction problem. And we know that if we don't address that addiction problem, they're going to be incarcerated, they're going to eventually be released, because just about everybody is. They're going back into the same environment, and unless there is adequate, available, and in many cases long-term treatment options, they're only going to come back into the system again, increase our recidivism, and looking long-term, and if there is a vision that I have going forward, looking long-term, we can do a much better job, and I think a better service to the taxpayers of North Dakota by not just building prisons, but by addressing the underlying issue, which is the addiction, be it drugs or alcohol, and mentally ill, too.
Is there a net savings there? In other words, if you build less prisons but increase the amount of availability for treatment for those that are addicted, do you end up saving the taxpayers' money?
Exactly, and that's just the point where I think long-term it's a savings for the taxpayer, and that's been the model that Ohio has achieved, Texas has, other states have, and it not only is a tax saving, but it's not just about that. How many? I talk to people all the time who say that they've got a loved one who has an addiction issue, they have difficulty finding a place for treatment for them, and they become exasperated. And of course, a lot of the incarcerations that we see are people who have underlying addiction issues that need to be addressed. And that reverberates into a whole lot of other things that we may not even catch. Burglaries, aggravated assaults, domestic violence, all of those kinds of things can often result because of issues with addiction. And so long term, this is something that really matters. And that, for my administration, is going to be something that we will address and that we need to address.
Real quick, our texter is referring to an earlier call about someone that was called us about Measure 2, said he wasn't talking about that isn't what the man asked about property taxes. He asked why we can't get rid of property taxes. Should we get rid of property taxes?
Well, I think he was referring to a measure that had been on the ballot that would have eliminated the property tax in North Dakota. And I can't remember what year that was, but it was a measure that was widely debated and it didn't pass. And in answer to the question, can you get rid of the property tax? I suppose you can, as long as you have alternate sources of funding for the services that people need or want.
Wayne Stengel, the Attorney General, with us today on a Talk Radio Town Hall, brought to you in part by our friends at the... Frog in my throat. Bad time to start a commercial. Coalition for a Secure Energy Future. The coalition, by the way, is dedicated to enhancing, preserving, and protecting what we have, a diverse set of energy resources, coal-based electricity being a prime example. And that ensures a continued affordable and reliable energy supply for families right here, for businesses right here in North Dakota and Minnesota now and into the future. I'd love for you to check out their website, SecureEnergyFuture.org, SecureEnergyFuture.org. Go to the Clean Power Plan. Click on that, and you will get some great facts about this incredible overreach that's at the Supreme Court right now. But it'll tell you what the plan does, what you want to do, and give you a lot of great information. SecureEnergyFuture.org. More coming up after this.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
So you've heard the ads for MyPillow, but you're still skeptical. Well, so was Kim until she tried it.
So I was asked by a friend to try out MyPillow, and I said I would try, but I really liked the pillows I had. So I was a little skeptical. So the first night, I really couldn't think of anything to complain about because, believe me, I was pretty sold on the previous pillows I had. And the second night, I was noticing I hadn't woken up to turn the pillow over, fluff it up, you know. And the third night, I noticed that my neck pain that I always have was starting to subside. And after the fourth night, I'm telling you, I was sold. And my daughter got a hold of my pillow and decided that it was hers and wouldn't give it back. And so I had to go buy another MyPillow.
Call to get your own MyPillow today. 800-506-9028. Use the promo code SCOTT or go online to MyPillow.com. Click on the 2-for-1 special and use promo code SCOTT at checkout. Get the sleep you've been missing.
Watford City. We're not the same. We're better. The New York Times has placed the Theodore Roosevelt National Park number 5 on its list of the top 52 places to visit in 2016. With miles of rugged badlands and rolling grasslands dotted with wildlife, the north unit of the park sits just 12 miles south of Watford City, a small town getaway with big city amenities. The gateway to internationally acclaimed adventure, Watford City residents have enjoyed the natural beauty of the area for centuries. And now, with over 700 available hotel rooms, a variety of cabins and campgrounds, 25 restaurants, unique shopping, and newly built, construction-free highways to get you there, you can plan a visit that's as rugged or as relaxing as you like. Because the Theodore Roosevelt National Park is North Dakota's playground right in your backyard. And Watford City wants to help you experience what has the nation inspired. Because the Badlands are just the beginning of the adventure. Watford City, we're not the same, we're better. Come see for yourself.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Dr. Joel Wallach here. If you're a baby boomer and you're worried about the big epidemics coming, and I'm not talking about the bird flu or the swine flu. I'm talking about epidemics of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, cancer. That's because the 80 million baby boomers followed all the advice of doctors, and Houston, we have a problem.
See Dr. Wallach live in Little Rock, Arkansas, Saturday, May 14th, 1 p.m. Go to www.cdocinarkansas.com. That's cdocinarkansas.com.
Final segment of the Talk Radio Town Hall. Wayne Stengem with us, the Attorney General, candidate for governor. Next week, Doug Burgum will join us. We're going back and forth each week. We will have each of the candidates and the Lieutenant Governor candidates. Nicole Pullman on the ticket with Wayne Stengem and Brent Sanford on the ticket with Doug Burgum. That will also debate prior to the election June 14th. We're about a month away, so things are coming up. How would you assess the race at this point, Wayne?
Very good, and we're at this stage of politics that I really like, and that's the retail stage where you actually get out, you meet people, you go to towns all across the state of this wonderful state of North Dakota and visit with people and listen to what it is that they're concerned about, and I'm feeling a real good surge of optimism among my camp and people who are in support of our candidacy.
emailer wants to know if you have another fight on your hands with the federal government concerning bathroom laws. Now, the governor of North Carolina is saying if the federal government gets their way, every state will be affected by this, and every state will have to allow into their universities and school, public schools and bathroom facilities, showers, locker rooms, et cetera, anyone that might identify with that particular gender. Would you fight that on behalf of North Dakotans?
Well, of course, we don't have a law like North Carolina has enacted. That's an interesting legal analysis. It just came up yesterday, so I haven't had an opportunity to see what the claim is. I think North Carolina says that that issue is not covered under federal civil rights law. Not having a chance to look at the actual claim and the defense, we'll have to wait and see where it is that we need to go and what it is that we might need to address. But I always am concerned when the federal government comes in, and I've mentioned this several times already, whether it's the EPA or the Bureau of Land Management or any of those agencies, and try to wrest control away from local governments.
Setting North Carolina aside, if the federal government said, Mr. Stanjan, you will do what we say regarding bathrooms, locker rooms, showers, you fight that, don't you?
I probably would. You need to, of course, do a legal analysis and make sure that you're on good, solid footing. But that certainly would be the likely result.
Tim and Bismarck, question for our guest, Wayne Stengem on the Talk Radio Town Hall. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Stengem. Hey, I'm a motorcycle activist. I belong to a motorcycle club. And one of my concerns, and a lot of the bikers in the communities have come together, and we're wondering, why do you support the anti-gang task force and profiling? I've done a lot of reading on this. I've noticed that your name is on a lot of different measures and bills supporting this. And my question is why are you guys putting us bikers in the category of gangs and feel that it's right to profile us?
Well, I certainly don't know where you'd get the idea that there's any profiling. Some of the most active, ardent cyclists that I know are those of us in law enforcement. We even do a statewide motorcycle visit that I've been to all of the cemeteries where we have lost law enforcement officers. And I certainly understand that but the vast majority of people who are bikers are good law-abiding people, and I have not signed on or supported any kind of profiling of anyone who is a biker, because we in law enforcement are among the group of active bikers. And you don't have to do much, but go to a military funeral or any kind of a patriotic celebration, and there are the bikers that are there waving American and North Dakota flags and proud to be citizens and proud to be Americans, and you can hardly witness that without a tear coming to your eye. And so I certainly understand that the vast majority of people who are bikers are good law-abiding people. We do have issues, and it's not because they're on motorcycles, but people are simply coming here because they're opportunists and are trying to purvey drugs and participate in human trafficking. It doesn't have anything to do with their mode of transportation. It has to do with what it is that they're proposing to do.
Well, according to a lot of the bills that have been signed for the anti-gang stuff, specific clubs have been listed in this as participating in gang activity. And me being in a club, I can guarantee we're not in a gang activity at all.
I'm sure you're not. There is no legislation that mentions any motorcycle clubs by name. But the ones that we are concerned about are, of course, the names, the Hell's Angels and the Sons of Silence and those groups. It doesn't have anything to do with the mode of transportation they choose. It has to do with the kind of criminal activity they participate in, and that's a concern to us. And I'm sure it is to you, too.
Tim, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. I don't have time for any other calls or emails or texts. Just a chance to say thanks for joining us. We'll do this again and keep it going between now and the election. And I'm going to start with my last question that I had planned for today that we ran out of time for. So I'll give you the benefit of knowing what this question is in advance. I have this visual of a canvas up on the wall there, and I'm dying to know if I give you the brush, what North Dakota looks like after your term as the governor. So we'll start with that one next time, Wayne.
Okay.
And you can paint the big picture for us. And we look forward to more of these conversations. Thanks a bunch.
Real pleasure. Always enjoy being with you, Scott, and you enjoy the rest of the week.
And by the way, we found out the news today, the breaking news from this interview. You can Facebook message Wayne Stengel, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? You can, he will answer your questions right there. How about that? Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate the time.
You bet, Scott.
That's bye another bye. Talk Radio Town Hall. We shall see you tomorrow. Another one tomorrow. Congressman Kevin Cramer and his weekly Talk Radio Town Hall. Plus, what's for the Family Alliance? And what ISIS is doing to Christians. You need to know about this because the media is not telling you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Kevin Pfeiffer with Pfeiffer's Auction Company. Pfeiffer's upcoming auctions include machinery auctions in Starkweather and Anamoose, North Dakota, and in Yulin, Minnesota, featuring early and late model equipment, harvest equipment, tractors and trucks, and Pfeiffer's land auctions in McKenzie, Dunn, McLean, and Mercer counties in North Dakota. For detailed information on these equipment, land auctions, and many more land listings, log on to Pfeiffer's.com.
I'm Monsignor James Shea, President of the University of Mary. At Mary, leadership is about much more than charts and balance sheets. It's about the values and character that define who you are. That's why we're partnering with the Havard Virtuous Leadership Institute to offer a new MBA in virtuous leadership. Priced at around $20,000, you can earn your degree online in as little as 20 months. Learn more at umary.edu/virtue. That's umary.edu/virtue.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Join me, George Norrie, at Joshua Tree, California, June 3rd through the 6th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, a weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, and new evidence of ongoing contact. Featuring Graham Hancock, Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and Eric Von Doniken, and so many more. For information, go to contactinthedesert.com, contactinthedesert.com, or 760-365-8371.